I was a college student at the University of British Columbia when John Kennedy was killed. News sort of hit strangely because, frankly, didn't believe it. And I can remember making a kind of facetious joke that it must have been one of his political enemies until I realized this was not something we're to joke about. He wasn't my president. He wasn't my country's leader. But he was an important leader in world affairs. And I can still remember the details of how I responded that week, how I heard, where I went, what I did. There's something about an event like that that etches itself on you. And others of you who are old enough to remember that event will recognize what that is like. The day we're going to talk about etched itself in a totally different way. Last Sunday, those of us who were here looked at the events of Good Friday. It was a brutal day. People walked home from what they'd seen feeling sick with witnessing the crucifixion of three men, but in particular, Jesus was the center of that. There were some who felt good about it, the Jewish leadership in particular, that had heard the singing just 5 days earlier. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were determined that that would stop. And as they went home, they had stopped Jesus. Or so they thought. Disciples didn't see it as Good Friday. It was the exact opposite. They went home that night terrified. Terrified by what they'd seen and terrified by what, if they did that to him, what was going to happen to them. Good Friday was the most important day in the entire history of humanity. It was the day God paid the penalty for human sin by allowing his son to be executed. But as Patrick Schreiner puts it well, the cross without the resurrection would be like a bird without wings. It's the resurrection that discloses the significance of the crucifixion. We can't understand what Jesus' death meant until we look at it through the open and empty tomb. And that's what I want you to do with me this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to think our way through this part of Scripture. Let me read the words to you first. Beginning at verse 55. There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, that's on Good Friday, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen shroud, laid it in his own new tomb, which he'd cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, that is the day of preparation for Passover, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people. He's risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go. Make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone, and setting a guard. Crucifixions were awful things. Most excruciating way for a person to die. The crowds had gathered and they'd watched and they'd mocked and they'd laughed. And they'd been humbled as they watched Jesus hang on the cross, crying out in different times, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And finally, it is finished. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And we're told, Roman soldier standing by said, "Truly, that's the Son of God." The normal custom was to leave someone on the cross. Some of them took a long time to die. And then the birds would eat the body and the wild animals. It was a way of continuing the kind of horror that's exemplified by crucifixion. But the Jews had a law that you could not leave the body on the tomb overnight, on the cross overnight. Even more important, this is Passover Eve. And everything has to be pure and right and done for Passover. There was an urgency about it. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he's dead. It's maybe 6 o'clock. Everything has to be done by. In that context, we read, and it's interesting, about a group of women who, when everybody else is getting away, the disciples were long gone. They were terrified that they would be next. They made themselves scarce as they were quickly absent. But not this group of women. They stayed. They'd followed with Jesus all the way down from Galilee. Some of them are given. His mother's not mentioned here, but she was surely one of them. And they stayed as long as they could. Meanwhile, quite unknown from them, a well-to-do man who actually was also a very publicly recognized man named Joseph. He was from a nearby community of Arimathea. And he was a secret follower of Jesus. He was part of the Sanhedrin, the high Jewish council. When everybody else voted against, he voted no. Whether it was secretly or not, we don't know. And he can't rest with the thought that Jesus might be taken and thrown into a unmarked grave, a common grave, with all the others. He had enough status to go and talk to Pilate, and he goes to Pilate and asks for the body of Jesus, and I'll look after it. And Pilate, he wants to poke a stick in the eye of the Pharisees because he doesn't like the way they've been behaving. And he says, "Go ahead." So he's given permission. It's not a pleasant task, taking a body down from the cross. had to take it down, pull out the nails, wash the body, put a robe around it, and they're going to go and put it in the brand new tomb, unused, that he prepared for his own family. But that's what he does. And it says simply that he rolled a great stone to the entrance of his tomb and went away. It's interesting how strongly Luke emphasizes this. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they remained at the tomb. Women's witness wasn't, or testimony wasn't, valued in Jewish courts at the time. But women are the last ones at the cross, and they're the first ones at the tomb. And God establishes them as primary witnesses to what is taking place in all of these events. Pharisees are still troubled by that because they remember what the disciples have forgotten. He said in 3 days he was going to rise again. Pilate, give us permission to put up a guard. Give us some of your soldiers to guard the tomb. Otherwise, they'll steal the body and then say that he's risen from the dead. And Pilate grants the request. I love the expression. Make it as secure as you know how. Now, after the Sabbath, that is, you had Passover, Sabbath, it's now Sunday morning. Toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Appearance was like lightning. And his clothing, white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, don't be afraid. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Come. See the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he'd risen from the dead, and behold, he's going to go before you to Galilee that you may see him. See, I've told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear. I mean, how often do you see an angel? And great joy. And ran to tell his disciples. There's no doubt Jesus died. Nobody questions that. Hung on the cross. He'd been declared dead. People had handled his body as though it was a corpse. There was no question about where he had been entombed. And it had been guarded and kept from any human intrusion. The women had witnessed the empty tomb. But now we have, "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples, and Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings, hi.'" Of all of the less profound statements at that point, "Hi." "And they came and they took hold of his feet and worshiped him." I think it is, in light of the kind of society of the time, remarkable that this was his gift to women in a special way, to value them and honor them, at, as I've already said, last at the cross, first at the tomb, and returning to the tomb again. "And they came up, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said, 'Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Well, we know from the other gospel writers that there were other times that Jesus appeared, that Peter saw Peter. Then Peter and John saw the Lord. And Peter and John saw the Lord. And then they came together in different fashions. Matthew tells us the story in the shortest possible ways. The Lord had been dead. The Lord is alive. Those who saw him, touched him, grasped him. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they'd assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and say, "Tell people the disciples came by night and stole them away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread around the Jews to this day. We have in the story a fascinating movement from a borrowed tomb, Joseph's tomb, to a filled tomb, the body of Jesus, to an empty tomb. But most importantly, not just to an empty tomb, but to a living Christ talking face to people. The resurrection, as has been said, is God's amen to the Lord's, "It is finished." It is God's affirmation that Jesus, when he died on the cross, did not die the death of a victim, but the willing sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins. Easter isn't just about remembering an amazing event. It's about a meeting a living Christ, about understanding that he died as God's penalty for my sin, for my inability to keep God's law, for my violation of his commands and standards. His death paid the price for me and for all who put their faith and trust in him. The resurrection stamps that the greatest day in history, God dealing with human sin, is true. He's alive. He's risen. And he's risen to be your Savior. So the great question of Easter is, have you met the Lord Jesus? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Have you understood this is for you, that you might know that death is not the end, it is the entrance into all that God has. That the hope of heaven is not a vain wish, and it's not a reward by having good works. It's a gift for all who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Here at Trinity Church, Redeemer Fellowship, excuse me, old habits are hard to break. We come up to the Lord's Supper, simple symbol, every Sunday. Jesus asked his disciples to remember him, to remember his death and to remember his resurrection. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And he gave them a piece of bread. It was the symbol he chose. "This is my blood, which is shed for you." And he gave them a cup of wine to take a sip from. And he said, "Keep on doing this in remembrance of me." There's nothing supernaturally magical about the symbols, but they're a way in which those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus say, "I believe he died for me. I'm trusting who he is." In a few minutes, we're going to sing a hymn, and we're going to distribute these. If you've trusted Christ, he invites you to take a little piece of cracker and one of those little thimblefuls of grape juice, and we'll take them together later. But it should be said, this is a table for believers only. It is a statement, I'm in, I'm part of the family. So if you're not there yet, don't take the symbol. Lay hold of the real thing, and that is faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and opening your heart to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for who he is and all that he's done for us. Thank you for the cross. That he willingly chose. That though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor. So that we might be rich through him. Thank you for the resurrection that tells us that what the cross was about really happened. Thank you that he lives, that he's Lord and King over all, and that one day he will return in glory. And if we've trusted him, we will be with him forever. Be with us as we take these symbols, as we sing this hymn that reminds us of the cross and all that was involved for us. In Christ's name, Amen.